Ever feel like you're hearing a ton about something really important like artificial intelligence and you just want the core information without getting bogged down in endless jargon?
Yeah, it can be overwhelming.
That's exactly what we're diving into today. Welcome to the Deep Dive, your quick route to truly understanding what matters.
Today, our focus is, artificial intelligence. We've got a great set of materials here. Excerpts from the Talina Tenikalulikul, or Taltec, e-course module titled Sisijohatos Tehis Intellecti Kasutuse.
Which means?
Ah, right. It means Introduction to the Use of Artificial Intelligence for those of us not fluent in Estonian.
Got it. So our goal today is pretty straightforward, but I think really crucial. We want to pull out the essential ideas about AI, figure out how it actually works and understand why it's such a big deal right now, especially in areas like education.
Exactly. The idea is to equip you with a solid grasp of the fundamentals, the key insights, without hopefully burying you in too much technical detail.
Perfect. Okay, so let's jump right in. Based on this Taltec course, what fundamentally is artificial intelligence?
Okay, so the course defines AI as technology that basically allows computers and machines to do tasks that we normally associate with human intelligence.
Like what kind of tasks?
Well, think about things like learning new stuff, making decisions based on information, understanding written text, or even recognizing images. It's about creating systems that can sort of mimic those cognitive abilities we have.
It's kind of mind-blowing how much AI is already part of our everyday lives, isn't it?
It really is, from healthcare and education, to how businesses run, even how we get around, plus all those smart devices we use constantly.
Right. And as the course points out, this brings up some pretty big questions.
Absolutely. Like, how do we make sure these technologies are safe? Are they fair? Do they actually benefit everyone in society?
Yeah.
These are huge considerations.
Definitely. So, to start untangling this, the course's first lesson lays out some really key terms. We should probably cover those.
Good idea. Getting the vocabulary down is important here.
Right. Let's get familiar. First up is tehis intellect, which they also write as TI or, well, AI. This is the big umbrella term, right?
Exactly. It's the ability of a machine or software to tackle tasks that usually need human reasoning, like solving problems or, understanding language.
I saw they also mentioned Tehisaru and Krat in Estonian. That Krat sounds familiar. Isn't that like a mythical creature?
It is like a magical treasure-bringing servant in folklore. It's kind of a neat cultural connection to the idea of AI as a helper.
Huh. Yeah, that's fun. Okay, so under that main AI concept comes Massinope, machine learning.
Right, machine learning or ML. This is a specific branch of AI where systems learn directly from data. They don't need explicit programming for every single scenario.
So they learn by seeing examples.
Pretty much, yeah. It's really the foundation for a lot of the AI solutions we see today. Learning by example is a good way to put it.
Okay. Then there's Tessenerivovork artificial neural network. Sounds complex.
It's basically a mathematical model. It's inspired by how our own brains are structured, with neurons and connections. It's used inside machine learning systems to process data and, importantly, to learn from it.
Like a digital brain structure.
Sort of, yeah. Think of it as a network with layers that analyze information, finding more and more complex patterns as data passes through.
Okay, I think I'm getting that. What about generative Dhoni to his intellect? Generative AI, we hear that term constantly now.
Yeah, generative AI is huge. It's
Yeah.
pretty much what it sounds like. AI that can create new content, things that weren't explicitly in its training data.
Like text, images.
Exactly. Text that sounds human-written, totally new images, music, code, you name it.
Wow, okay. And the course also splits AI into types based on capability. Starting with Kitsa's to his intellect, ANI, or artificial narrow intelligence.
Yes, ANI. This is AI that's designed for one specific task, and it usually does that task extremely well.
Like translation software.
Perfect example. Or image analysis for medical scans. The key is narrow. It's brilliant at its job, but you can't ask it to, say, write a poem. This is the AI we mostly interact with today. We'll get into more examples later.
Makes sense. Then there's Uldin to his intellect, AGI. Artificial General Intelligence. This is the sci-fi stuff, right?
Pretty much, yeah, for now at least. AGI is the hypothetical AI with human-level intelligence. It could learn, understand, and apply intelligence across diverse problems, just like a person.
So it's not here yet.
Not even close, really. It's a major goal for researchers, but it's still very much in development. And the course notes our definition might even change as we learn more.
And beyond AGI, there's superintellect, ASI. Artificial superintelligence.
Right, ASI. This is purely theoretical right now. It's AI that would surpass human intelligence in Well, pretty much every way imaginable.
So pass us how?
The course mentions Nick Bostrom's work here, thinking about features like incredibly fast learning, self-improvement, strategic thinking way beyond ours, and problem-solving on a scale we can't even grasp. It's intelligence far beyond human comprehension. A future concept.
Okay, that's a lot to take in. Finally, the course brings up etica, ethics, which feels incredibly important with all this power.
Absolutely crucial. AI ethics asks the hard questions. Is it fair? Can we understand its decisions? Is it transparent? And fundamentally, does it cause harm?
Like bias in algorithms.
Exactly. That's a key example the course gives. If the training data has biases, the AI can end up making unfair or discriminatory decisions without anyone intending it to.
That's a really helpful rundown of the key terms. So moving on to the essence of AI, what's the core idea from the second lesson?
Well, digging into lesson two, AI really started back in the 1950s, though it feels very current now because it's become so accessible. The core aim is to replicate and even expand on human intelligence using computer systems.
Making machines that can think, basically.
In a sense, yes. Creating machines and software that can learn, adapt, and do tasks that, you know, traditionally needed human intellect.
And it pulls from lots of different fields, doesn't it?
Totally. AI isn't just one thing. It's very multidisciplinary. It brings together data science, machine learning, natural language processing, that's NLP, how computers understand us, and computer vision, how they see.
So it needs math, stats.
Absolutely. Math, statistics, computer science are the bedrock. Using algorithms, those step-by-step instructions in the neural networks we mentioned, to analyze huge amounts of data and come to conclusions.
And machine learning is the engine driving a lot of this, the learning without being told part.
Precisely. Machine learning lets computers find patterns in data without needing explicit instructions for every single possibility. And then you've got deep learning, which is a sort of more advanced subset of machine learning.
How is deep learning different?
Deep learning uses those really complex, multi-layered neural networks to tackle very intricate tasks, things like facial recognition or, you know, enabling self-driving cars.
Okay, so what's the ultimate goal of all this AI development, according to the course?
The big picture goal is really to make human life simpler and better, developing tools that range from, say, everyday conveniences like virtual assistants.
Like Siri or Alexa.
Exactly. Or personalized recommendations online. All the way to tackling huge scientific challenges, like diagnosing diseases earlier or modeling climate change.
So it's meant to help us, not replace us.
That's the key point the course makes. AI is intended to complement human abilities, to work alongside us, augment what we can do, not replace us entirely.
That's a reassuring perspective. It also asks, why do we actually need AI? What's the justification?
That's a great question. The need for AI, according to the material, really stems from our basic drive to solve tough problems and, well, improve life. It's not just tech for tech's sake. It's a tool with real potential for positive impact.
Okay, so what are the main reasons we need it?
The course outlines several. First, effectiveness and productivity. AI can do certain tasks way faster and more efficiently than humans. Sometimes tasks that are just too big for us, data-wise.
Like in factories or logistics.
Exactly. Automation and manufacturing, super-optimized logistics.
Yeah.
It frees up people to focus on innovation, on adding more value.
Right. Makes sense. Get more done. What's next?
Second, solving complex problems. Think about the huge challenges we face. Climate change, health crises, resource scarcity. These need incredibly deep analysis. AI, with enough data, lets us model and understand these complex systems in ways we couldn't before.
Tackling the big global issues, powerful. What about closer to home?
That's the third point. Simplifying daily life. AI is already making our routines easier. Smart home devices, those virtual assistants we mentioned, even progress on self-driving cars. It's all about streamlining things, freeing up our time and energy.
I do rely on my phone's reminders. Any other big reasons?
Fourth, accelerating science and innovation. Research in areas like genetics, drug development, space exploration. It generates massive amounts of data. AI is fantastic at analyzing that data, finding connections or potential breakthroughs humans might miss.
Speeding up discovery, that's huge. What else?
Fifth is accessibility and inclusion. This is really important. AI powers technologies that help people with disabilities participate more fully. Things like speech to text, or screen readers for the visually impaired.
That's a fantastic use case, making tech work for everyone. And the last reason.
Finally, personalization. AI is great at analyzing individual preferences to offer tailored solutions. Think personalized shopping recommendations or potentially even healthcare treatments customized to your specific genetic makeup.
So it really covers a huge range of needs, from efficiency to accessibility. Okay, let's switch gears. How does this stuff actually work? What's going on inside the machine?
Right, lesson three tackles this. It starts with a useful analogy. Picture a massive computing machine. It takes in loads of data and makes decisions or predictions based on algorithms.
Algorithms are like the rules it follows.
Exactly. Sets of rules or step-by-step instructions. And a key part is training the AI with data. Remember the cat and dog example?
Yeah, showing it lots of pictures.
Right. Thousands of images, each labeled cat or dog. Through machine learning, seeing all these examples over and over, the AI starts to figure out the patterns, the features that distinguish a cat from a dog.
So it learns from experience, kind of like us.
In a way, yes. And this learning often happens inside those teias narvivor good, the artificial neural networks. The course describes them as layered systems, like we talked about, inspired by the brain.
Layers of processing.
Yeah. Data goes in, hits the first layer, which might spot simple things like edges or colors. Then it moves to deeper layers that recognize more complex patterns, eventually putting it all together to say, okay, that's a cat.
Interesting. But the course also mentions this black box idea that we don't always know how AI decides.
That's a big challenge. The black box means the internal logic, the exact reasoning behind an AI's decision, isn't always clear or easy for us humans to follow. We see the input, we see the output, but the complex steps in between can be opaque.
Which makes checking for fairness or bias tricky.
Exactly. It's hard to ensure ethical and trustworthy decisions if you can't fully understand the reasoning. And of course, the course points out that how AI works varies a lot depending on the application.
Right. Analyzing text is different from driving a car.
Precisely. Text analysis, image recognition, chatbots, autonomous vehicles, they all use different specific algorithms and models tailored for the job. For instance, the course goes deeper into generative AI.
The content creating AI.
Yeah. It explains that generative AI works by finding patterns and relationships in existing data, text, images, audio, whatever, and then using those patterns to create new similar content. It mentions deep learning models like JAMs and LLMs are key here.
And just to recap, machine learning is the overall ability to learn from data.
Correct. Learning and improving from experience without explicit programming for every step.
And SUVABE, deep learning, is a subset of that.
Yes, a subfield of both AI and machine learning. It uses those deep, multi-layered neural networks to analyze really complex data and find intricate patterns, often without humans needing to predefine those patterns.
Like finding diseases in scans.
That's a great example the course gives, using convolutional neural networks or CNNs, or translating text using models like GPT. Deep learning excels at these complex, data-rich tasks.
And the building blocks are still the teias narvivor good, the neural networks.
Right. As the course details, they're machine learning models inspired by the brain's structure. Interconnected neurons in layers input, hidden layers for processing, and an output layer. Learning happens by adjusting the connections, the weights, between neurons during training with data. They get better over time.
Okay, I think the mechanics are becoming clearer. Now, the course revisits the types of artificial intelligence, ANI, AGI, ASI again.
That's right. Lesson three categorizes them based on capability and goals. It helps map out the AI landscape from what we use daily to future possibilities.
So let's add some more examples from the course. For Kitsa's Teias Intellect, ANI, besides translation and facial recognition.
The course adds things like the advertising algorithms that tailor ads to you online.
Creepy, but effective.
Huh, yeah. Also features in cars like lane keeping assists and virtual assistants like Siri and Alexa responding to specific commands. The common thread is they excel at one narrow thing.
Got it. Specialized tools. Now, Yul Dean to his intellect, AGI. What are its key defining features again?
The main thing is human-level intelligence. AGI would need to think, learn, and tackle diverse tasks without specific training for each one. The course highlights properties like learning ability across domains, adaptability to new situations, creativity, and versatility.
Truly like a human mind, then. The course mentioned potential future uses.
Yeah, it paints a picture. Personalized education, adapting in real time, much faster and more accurate medical diagnoses from analyzing huge patient data sets, fully autonomous space missions, finding novel solutions for climate change, or managing crises effectively.
That's potentially world-changing stuff.
Absolutely, if it becomes reality.
And then super intellect, ASI, still firmly in the realm of theory.
Definitely. The course stresses its hypothetical, surpassing human intellect in all areas. and intelligence solving problems we can't even properly define yet. It's a concept for thinking about the long-term trajectory, not something around the corner.
The course also noted a Mectory panel discussion back in March 2024.
Yes, featuring experts like Lucas Ilves, Irv Metz, Sven Noam, and Mervi Sepre. They discussed AI's impact on the job market, education, entrepreneurship. It shows these are active, ongoing discussions here in Estonia.
Good to know it's being actively debated. Okay, let's shift to the real-world impact. The next section, AI development and impact across various fields. Sounds like it's touching everything.
The course definitely emphasizes that. It calls AI's impact transformative and gives specific examples across many sectors.
Let's hear some. Healthcare.
In healthcare, better disease diagnosis, like spotting cancer on scans earlier. It mentions IBM Watson Health. Also speeding up drug discovery.
And education.
In education, things like adaptive learning systems, Dreambox, Carnegie Learning are examples that tailor lessons to each student. Also, personalized feedback on writing and making materials more accessible via translation.
What about business?
In business and the economy, using data analysis for recommendations, Amazon's a classic example. Detecting fraud, assessing financial risk, automating routine tasks for efficiency.
Transport. Autonomous vehicles, I assume.
Yep, transport features autonomous vehicles from Tesla, Waymo. Also, using AI to optimize logistics and supply chains.
And our daily lives.
Daily life sees smart assistants like Siri, Alexa. The course even mentions Estonia's bureaucrat initiative for potentially streamlining public services with AI.
And science itself.
In science, AI is crucial for analyzing the enormous data sets in climate modeling or discovering new materials.
It really is widespread. Yeah. Now, the course specifically tackles AI's impact on the economy and the labor market. That's a big one.
A very big one, yes. Economically, the course points to potential boosts in productivity, efficiency, faster decision-making, personalized customer experiences, and innovation creating new markets.
But the labor market impact is more mixed.
Now, definitely more complex. There's the potential for automation replacing jobs, but also creating demand for new skills and concerns about widening inequality.
Okay, so what are the potential positives for workers?
Potential positives include productivity growth overall, innovation sparking new job types, maybe improved job quality if boring tasks get automated, better decision-making tools for workers, and obviously new jobs like data scientists, AI specialists.
And the potential downsides?
The potential negatives include job displacement, especially for routine lower skill roles, increased inequality if benefits aren't shared, privacy and security concerns about data, overdependence on tech, and ethical issues like bias, lack of transparency, even fake news generation.
It's a real balancing act. The course mentioned a TechCast podcast too, with women in AI.
Yeah, featuring Mary Lees Kurd, Eli Valla, and Anu Pusok. They talk about working in AI risk management, medicine, startups, discussing AI's future, trends, and that crucial balance between capability, risk prevention, and data security. Real-world perspectives.
Valuable insights. Okay, let's get practical. Prompting AI. This seems like a vital skill now.
Absolutely. Lesson 4 dives right into this. A prompt is basically your instruction or question to the AI. Good prompting gets you better, faster results, saves time, sparks creativity, even enables automation.
So learning to ask is key. What are the rules for good prompting according to the course?
First, be specific. Don't just say write about business. Better. Write a 100-word summary of key steps for starting a business for high school students. Specificity is crucial.
Makes sense. More detail in, better detail out. What else?
Second, provide background or context. If you're a teacher making a game about misinformation, tell the AI that. I'm a teacher creating a game for 12th graders on misinformation. Give me one multiple choice question. Context helps tailor the response.
Give it the why. Got it. Rule 3.
Specify the desired output format. Do you want a list? A table, an essay, a poem. Tell the AI how you want the information structured.
That avoids getting a big block of text when you wanted bullet points. Rule 4.
Suggest role-playing. Ask the AI to act as someone specific. Imagine you're a career counselor. What 3 questions would you ask a 17-year-old interested in IT? This can yield more focused answers.
Clever trick. And the last rule?
Iterate. Prompting is often a back and forth. Start with a prompt, see the result, then refine. Make that simpler, or give me another example. It's a conversation to get what you need.
Trial and error. Okay. The course then introduces ChatGPT. Remind us what that is.
ChatGPT from OpenAI is an AI chatbot. It uses a large language model trained on vast amounts of text to understand and generate human-like text. The name means Chat Generative Pre-trained Transformer. It can answer questions, generate ideas, write, solve problems, help code, lots of things.
And it's not the only one, right?
No, the course lists others. Microsoft's Copilot, Meta's Llama, Google's Gemini, Anthropic's Claude. They work similarly, using large language models. Important note, their knowledge usually has a cutoff date, so they might lack very recent info.
Good reminder. They sound smart, but aren't always up to the minute. How can people use these tools effectively?
Lots of ways the course suggests. Explaining complex topics simply. Getting help writing emails or summaries, practicing languages, brainstorming ideas, getting coding help, even exploring different viewpoints on an issue.
Quite versatile. Any important warnings or reminders?
Yes, crucial ones. Remember, AI isn't human. It finds patterns it doesn't truly understand. Answers can sound convincing, but aren't always accurate. Always fact-check important stuff. Clearer questions get better answers. And usually, unless you log in, conversations aren't saved.
Good points. And there are free versus paid versions.
Usually, yeah. Paid versions often offer more features, maybe better or newer models, faster responses, especially when busy. Basic free versions are great for trying them out.
How does someone start with ChatGPT?
Simple. Go to chat.opi.com, log in or create an account, and just start typing your question or task in the chat window. The course suggests trying some examples to get the hang of it.
What about Microsoft Copilot, especially for tall tech users?
The course explains Copilot also has free and paid pro versions. Free is good for basic text and simpler images, but might have limits. Copilot Pro offers more advanced features, better integration, priority access to newer models, higher usage limits, and costs a subscription fee. TallTech users can subscribe via the university's IT help desk.
Good to know there's institutional support. The course then lists lots of specific AI apps.
Yeah, it's a helpful list. Mentions base engines like Copilot, ChatGPT, Gemini, Claude AI, then specific tools. Scopus AI for research, Perplexity as an answer engine, Quillbot for paraphrasing, Writeful for academic writing, Gamma.app for presentations, MAXQDA for data analysis, Napkin for ideas, and points to therisenaforthat.com to find even more.
Wow, that's a great resource list. Even has a task for creating a learning game.
It does. It guides you through using a detailed prompt to design a simple educational web game, suggesting tools like lovable.app to build it. There's even a link to an example game created that way. A very practical exercise.
Cool. And finally, it lists courses for deeper learning.
Yes, quite a few. TallTech's own Using Copilot online course, historical AI overview material from IT College, the well-known Elements of AI course, a more technical AI course at Tartu University, AI courses on Coursera, TallTech has access, and Google's AI courses with links, even a 10-minute summary video, plenty of options to go further.
Definitely lots to explore. Okay, let's shift to a really key area, AI in education. The course frames AI as a support tool.
Absolutely. A tool to support teachers and learners. It mentions Estonia's upcoming TI Hoop National AI Initiative for Schools starting in 2025.
Which means students will come to university with varied AI skills.
Exactly. And it also acknowledges the real difficulty educators face in detecting AI-generated text right now.
So how can AI be used effectively in education according to the course?
It lists several ways. Analyzing language, like in student essays, creating materials, text, images, tests, providing quick feedback, adapting learning content for individuals, offering personalized support. Even students using AI as a personal tutor is mentioned, citing a Nature.com article about students' creative uses of chatbots.
Okay, so lots of possibilities. How can teachers specifically use it?
The course outlines practical uses for educators. 1. Creating learning materials, worksheets, questions, presentations, summaries, even differentiated materials for diverse learners.
Saves time, potentially.
Hopefully. 2. Preparing lessons, brainstorming ideas, activities, lesson plans, project concepts. 3. Assessment and feedback generating varied test questions, grading models, feedback ideas, simplifying complex topics. But crucially, it stresses needing student consent for AI analysis of their work and transparency about its use.
Consent and transparency are key. What else?
Educators can demonstrate appropriate AI use to students, guiding them ethically. And importantly, they need to explain the why of learning emphasizing human skills like critical thinking and creativity that AI doesn't replace. This means observing how passive AI use affects students and adjusting teaching methods.
That pedagogical shift sounds vital. The course shares real user experiences, too.
Yes, very insightful ones. Janice Payal from IT College knows AI is inevitable in programming, so focus must be on responsible use, code accountability, citing tools.
Makes sense. What else?
Master's students use multiple AIs to relearn forgotten physics math, cross-referencing outputs, and checking with people. Professor Marja Krusma used ChatGPT as a learning friend for a tough course. and now show students how to use it similarly.
That's a great personal story. Any others?
Tia Rootman in engineering pedagogy uses AI systematically with teacher trainees, focusing on evaluating and improving AI-generated teaching materials, checking pedagogy, finding errors. She even shares examples of generic AI texts she spotted in student work.
Those examples really bring it to life. The course also summarized a NordTech roundtable on AI in engineering education.
Yes, key points were some universities are returning to traditional assessment methods. Students like LLMs for learning but not grading. LLMs might actually increase teacher workload in some ways, need to consider emotional aspects in teacher training, and writing remains fundamental to learning.
Interesting tensions there. What about students' own views on using AI, positives and negatives?
Positives mentioned include clarifying background info, faster learning, boosting critical thinking when evaluating AI output, better reading skills, more interactive learning, tech awareness, analytical skills.
And the negatives.
Concerns about superficiality, passivity, laziness, loss of critical thinking if over-reliant, plagiarism risk, and the difficulty detecting it. The big takeaway: students need more guidance on responsible, critical, honest AI use.
Clear guidance is essential. Does Taltech have official principles?
Yes. The course says instructors must inform students in the course syllabus about how AI use is permitted or restricted in that specific course. There's a link provided in the materials.
Good. Finally, this education section includes practical tasks for educators.
Yes, several exercises. Task 1, use AI to get recommendations for improving your own course syllabus and content. Task 2, get AI to describe how AI use is allowed in your specific subject. Task 3, create a presentation using AI tools like chatbots, Copilot Pro, or dedicated apps like Gamma.app with a tutorial link.
More hands-on stuff.
Task 4 focuses on AI for feedback, specifically getting students to use AI to evaluate their own work against criteria before submitting it with a detailed example prompt given. Task 5 explores using Google Notebook LM to create an AI tutor from course materials, explaining how Notebook LM works and its features, including audio overviews. It also touches on assessing these kinds of activities.
Wow, lots of concrete ideas for educators to try. It's clear AI is really shaking up education.
Absolutely. This deep dive based on the Taltech materials has hopefully given us a solid foundation on AI. We've covered a lot of definitions, how it works, the different types, its impact across society, how to prompt it, and especially its role in education.
It definitely feels like we've unpacked the essentials. It's given me, and hopefully our listener, a much clearer picture without getting totally lost. As we wrap up, what's a final thought to leave people with?
I think it's crucial to keep reflecting on AI's evolving role. We need ongoing critical engagement and adaptation. Can we ask yourself, based on what we've discussed, how could you start engaging with or using AI, whether for learning or work? The resources mentioned offer tons of ways to go deeper if you're curious.
That's a great prompt for us all. Consider how to engage, not just react. Thanks so much for walking us through all this.
My pleasure. It's a fascinating and important topic.
And to our listener, we hope this deep dive has equipped you with a clearer understanding of artificial intelligence and its growing significance. Thanks for joining us.